everyone. Your designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne at Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly at My Soulful Home. We have tips and tricks and decorating advice for you. So let's get started.
This is episode 61. We're answering reader questions today.
Oh, I love doing that.
I know.
I love
me
doing
too.
That too. Mm-hmm.
It's so
and
fun.
And I have a whole notebook of questions that people have been sending in.
And hey, thank you, everyone, for sending in your questions. We read all of them and love them.
And your photos. We love
your photos. Yes.
So I wish it could be more interactive each episode, but this is kind of our interactive episodes that we throw in, and we do get lots of questions. We love the questions and we love answering them. So Kelly, what is our first question?
Well, before we kick off, we're going to talk about something else that we love. We're giving a shout out to one of our favorite companies for decor is Wayfair. Mm-hmm. And we just happened to be talking together about some things that we just got from Wayfair. And so we thought we'd give them a little shout out and direct you over to wayfair.com in case you were looking for some items for your home that are well-made and well-priced. I just got a rug for my dining room that I love. It's gorgeous. And it was under $200.
Wow. That's a steal.
Yeah. Wow. Fantastic. So, and it's a go-to spot for me, too, when I'm shopping for clients. So, check out wayfair.com. You may know of it or you may not have visited in a while, but it's definitely worth a peruse if you're looking for some decor. Now, the first question, I guess we'll moderate it this way. I have my notebook with the questions in them, and then so I will – shout out a question to Yvonne first. It's actually from similar question from two of our listeners, Paula E. and Jackie W. Now, both these ladies, first of all, I have to tell you, they both love our podcast.
Thank you,
Paula and Jackie. And one was a voicemail from Paula, and one was a, I believe, an email from Jackie. And boiling it all down, they're both asking about stained trim. They both have nice stained trim, nice wood, and they like the look. On the other hand, they appreciate the going white and the neutrals and the freshening up, but they want to keep the stained trim that they have and not paint it. Paula, in particular, she has some white painted trim. She has hickory cabinets. Then she has stained trim in other areas of her house. So she wanted some suggestions for working with the stained moldings and trim where she still has it. And Jackie, very similar. And I think she also has some rental properties that she has stained trim in. So Yvonne, what do you think?
Well, first of all, hi, Paula and Jackie. Thank you so much for writing in or calling in, and we just really appreciate you listening. This is really an easier question than you think. You know, if you love stained trim, just go with it. We have all white trim in this house, but the house before, we actually had stained trim. And I think in one of the emails, they said it was in really great condition and no upkeep. Let me just throw this in. There is upkeep with stained trim. And stained trim can dink, and just like regular, you know, white anything that's painted, it doesn't chip. But if you dink it, you're going to have to take care of that.
So you're scratched.
Yes, absolutely. So what you'll want to do is get a great product that keeps your beautiful stain and your wood nourished and looking beautiful and cleaned, and you want to do that on a regular basis. And also, if you have little marks that are dinked or scuffed, you can always get those little pens.
I think your question was from a decorating standpoint. How do you work with that?
I do know that, but I'm setting this up. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm taking too long.
She's setting the stage.
But I want them to understand there is upkeep, because one of the questions the ladies asked, she assumed that there was no upkeep, because there is. But here's what I say. I just say that if you're going to keep your trim, that's an awesome thing. If you love it, keep it. But if you want to lighten up your space, bring it. And I think one of our girls said that they did some shiplapping and they just wanted to keep everything white and light. Certainly do that. I would paint my walls a light color. Because I think the trim looks beautiful against light. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have stained trim, you might as well show it off. So use a light color of wall. Use a white ceiling. I think that looks beautiful. And if you're going to have you're bringing neutrals in, the one thing I would say is be mindful of the shade and tone of your wood trim, and then bring some those warm elements, a little bit of that same warm element into your room.
Well, and I think to add to what you're saying, be very careful. Some of those are very yellow, so mm-hmm. you have to be careful putting something very bright white next to it. It may make your woodwork look
dingy.
Well,
that's true, but you want to get something neutral and light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be white.
Right. So be aware of that color of the trim mm-hmm. and make sure that whatever you're bringing into that room is going to work with it.
It works. That's a very good point. Although I do paint all my ceilings white because I just think it's not, unless you have crown molding, mm-hmm. it's not close enough. But something you're going to paint a light neutral, and then you're going to, and you can shiplap, you can do planked walls, you can do anything you want with it. And I think just go with it. And also, I'd go with whatever. If you have a white door, that's fine. If you have a stained door, that's fine. But just bring some of those warm elements that are on your trim that makes your trim beautiful into your room so it doesn't look so lonely. And you can do that with wood, but you can also do that with fabric.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think wood and white... Wood and light is a winner. So beautiful together. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. Whether or not I bring wood in, and we've been talking about this in various ways, even from the bread bowls and the cutting boards and all of that, or the stump side table, mm-hmm. or wooden furniture that isn't painted. Not everything needs to be painted, ladies. True. You know, we do like that. It's a freshening look for some woods that might just kind of be bringing a room down or dating a room. But mm-hmm. if you've got nice wood trim, that's not necessarily dating anything.
No.
Unless you absolutely despise mm-hmm. the color of the stain and then to mm-hmm. have it stripped and all that, hey, you know, you might as well just go paint at that point. But both of these ladies really like their stain mm-hmm. trim. I don't see that dating a home at all. And you can still have all the modern freshness that we talked That's about right. and freshening up your home and that we talk about all the time and your limited color palette and all that, but working in the warm wood and as Yvonne said, you know, go with it. Don't like think, pretend you're trying to hide it. Accent it, bring mm-hmm. the wood in mm-hmm. other little pieces, whether it's small tables or accent pieces throughout.
Right. Or just even something that's warm in a fabric. You know, yeah. you can do mm-hmm. some beautiful, mm-hmm. if you've got more yellows, put a couple little gold things in there, darker gold or whatever, that would look really nice with it. Absolutely. I just say go for it, embrace it, and love it.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice and some practical tips and some just love it. Mm-hmm. And
I bet you a lot of our listeners have that same, not an issue, but still have that same design element in their home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And a friend of mine from high school, I'm going to shout out to Lisa. Lisa, you know who you are. And we went to high school together. We reconnected a couple of years ago, sort of by chance. Now on Facebook. Now she's in my gardening group. She loves our podcast. And she sent me pictures of her whole house. And we've been having fun. In fact, I owe her one more analysis of her living room. And in one of my thoughts, I said, Lisa, you know, if you really want to freshen up, paint your trim. And she was like, don't be mad at me. I really don't want to paint my trim. And so, no, Lisa, don't paint your trim. Do what Yvonne's saying for these other ladies. So, you know, Jackie and Paula and Lisa, mm-hmm. enjoy your trim.
And if you have a mix and you don't want to change it, I say that as long as it's not in the same room, that's fine. Just, mm-hmm. you know, enjoy what you have.
All right. Kelly, what's the next question?
Okay. So, Anita, this one is for you. This is from a lady who lives not too far from you in Katy, Texas?
Katy. Yes, that's nearby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're talking about, cabinets and backsplashes and all of that. So how do you feel about that? Would you take your backsplash all the way up?
And who's the reader?
And what do you do with the it's Megan D.
Megan, okay.
From Katy, Texas. Sorry
hey,
about
Megan.
That. Hey, Megan. And above the cabinet decorating, you know, because Megan is saying that in her home, the cabinets don't go all the way to the ceiling mm-hmm. and there's some space up there. So do you just let it be or do you put things up there?
Okay, so stuff above and what? Do you put anything on the cabinets above? And was there a question also about whether you should put tile up there?
Yeah, there was a question about where do you stop the backsplash in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, I'm in some Facebook groups, and this is a big question about what to put up there. And I'm really of the camp to leave it empty. Mm-hmm. I think that's something back in the day, you know, we all had stuff up there, but then it gets dusty and you've got to clean it. And now I feel like it's kind of ends up looking a little bit cluttered. I mean, again, it's one of those things, if you've got stuff up there, like we just said, and you love it, then keep it. I'm not suggesting you have to take it down, but I am saying probably the newer look is a cleaner, more streamlined look. Mm-hmm. So people tend not to, if you want your house to look more like what's in the magazines right now and what you're seeing on Pinterest, I would take things down. And the other thing is you really need some empty spaces for your eyes to rest and you need those breaks. So I think it just, when you overstuff a room, I think it can feel cluttered and confused. So I really, and I think this is a problem that I think we've all done it where maybe the room doesn't feel right. And it seems like whatever's wrong, it tends to be the solution we choose is put more stuff in it.
That's a good point, Anita.
So, right. So I think mm-hmm. My new strategy is if something's wrong now, instead of knee-jerk reaction being adding things, my knee-jerk reaction now is take things out.
Very good point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
And here's I did have white pictures above my mm-hmm. cabinets mm-hmm. just to hold because I collect them.
Right. And see, that's a more simple look. I mean, if you're going to have something, that's probably what I would do.
But I recently took them down and put them on my open shelves.
Right.
What a difference.
So you like it better with it open?
I like it better open. Mm-hmm. However, if you need that prime real estate, mm-hmm. use it.
Well, you know, and if I had to use it, I'd mm-hmm. actually in my closet, I have some beautiful boxes above a cabinet area and they're all exactly the same and they line up and it actually looks kind of architectural and lovely and it doesn't feel cluttered. So that's another thing that you can do. And then as far as the tile, my tile, I tend to just, normally people just go to the bottom of those wall cabinets, but I do have in my butler's pantry, there are open shelves and I have tile that goes from the countertop all the way up to the ceiling, which is a very clean, gorgeous look. But really, you're only going to see that if you have the open shelving.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think you would, if you had the wall mounted cabinets, I don't think you would do the backsplash between the countertop and the bottom and then start it again.
Right.
Up
exactly.
There.
Oh, well, no,
even going to see it. And that's expensive.
If you're going to pay, I was going to say that that's really going to be a lot of money for something that no one's going to know about except you.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I might add, Megan, is if you're feeling that your cabinets maybe don't go high enough and it seems like there's too much space up there, maybe you want to add some crown molding to the top.
Oh,
and
there you go. Perfect.
And it doesn't have to reach the ceiling. It can just sort of, it would flange out a little bit like a molding would. So it would just cap it. You could do something like that.
I'm sitting, my recording studio is in my guest quarters.
I love when you say recording studio.
My recording studio. Okay, it's really my garage apartment. All right, I've said it. But I'm looking here. The cabinets have a space above them, but they have this lovely crown molding at the top. It's empty up there, but you see the crown molding at the top of the cabinets and then the molding up at the top of the wall. And it's just lovely, just like that.
Or we have the same thing. We have a farmhouse kitchen and we have beautiful, heavy molding around the top of our cabinets, and it's just so pretty. It stands great on its own, and really I think it's your style. We have higher ceilings, so we needed that in ours, and that's just a really good way to do it.
Okay. Well, now I have some other questions. Of course, we have a bunch, and I hope we get to them all. But we want to be thorough. So if okay. you have sent in a question and we don't get to it today, we will be doing this again. We've done one before. And so, if you didn't
And we'll put the link to that one in the
show
notes.
Yeah, we'll put the listen, because maybe if your question was a little bit ago, maybe it's already been answered if you didn't have an opportunity to hear that one. But, you know, of course, because our listeners are fabulous, not only do they ask questions, but they give tips. So I want to share a tip from Nancy H. She sent us an email, and I believe it was when we were doing one of our outdoor episodes. Mm-hmm. And Yvonne was talking about her outdoor pillows that she makes from those tablecloths. Mm-hmm. And so Nancy
Vinyl tablecloths,
right? Mm-hmm. So Nancy H. Emails that she stuffs her outdoor pillows with plastic grocery bags. Nice repurpose of the plastic grocery bag.
Yes, isn't that a good idea?
And and Nancy has made outdoor pillows from shower curtain fabric.
Oh, great idea. Woo!
Nice job.
Can you imagine how many you could get out of a shower curtain? There you go.
Yeah, that's a lot of yardage there. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy. Great question. Great tip.
Great tip. So pass that along. Mm-hmm. And an update on our dear friend Karen with the mayonnaise walls and the pinky beige couch.
Good.
Just want to let everybody know, because I know that was a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Karen let us know that 25% mayo worked with the trim and the couch. And so
we have new pictures.
She brought it down. We don't have pictures of that, but Karen did share pictures of some of her outdoor spaces.
Karen, send us some more pictures.
Yes.
In her outdoor spaces, she's incorporating a limited color palette, and it looks fantastic.
Oh, limited color palette.
Yes.
There you go.
And another tip, a suggestion from Laura L., one of our early adopters of Decorating Tips and Tricks podcast. Laura says, when we were talking about curtains, drapes, and shades, she often uses Country Curtains. And I know they've been around for a long time, and it is a great site. So Laura wanted to share that with everybody.
Kelly, let me just say this. If you have, it's been around an awful long time. If you haven't looked at Country Curtains lately, do. They're very updated.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Good. Actually, a client of mine used them, and she got the prettiest little valances. Mm-hmm. She had these weird windows, and I said to Laura, I was just on their site for quite some time sorting that out for a client. So let me see. Maybe I'll take a question. Mm-hmm. Flipping through the book. Where's my question?
We have a book.
I have a notebook. It actually even has a label on the front, and it says listener question. So I write them down so we keep track. Okay, so.
The previous episode was episode 29 of the listener question.
Good to know. Okay, so Karina, she sent a voicemail to us. Yeah, she left a voicemail, and when we were talking about mirrors, and we were talking about what would be the only room you wouldn't have a mirror in. And I think most of us said a kitchen, but I did say I was going to hang one up, and we just talked about how I hung that up in episode 59, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a really funny one. So you should listen to that. But Karina wanted to share with us, she has a small dark kitchen, and she calls it a, quote, two-butt kitchen. I guess it's pretty narrow. I thought that was so cute. I had never heard that before. But she also did say that she's loving our podcast, and that she shared it with her mom, and that we helped her mom survive a scary trip to the dentist.
That makes us happy.
Yeah. Yes. So they're laughing along with us and whatnot. So anyway, this is probably less of a question and more of a comment, but Karina found a mirror in her stash, and she put it in her two-butt kitchen on the backsplash. She's loving the way it reflects the light. And she says she layered it with a hobnail little vase or such, and a little cookie cutter, and a little cutting board. And some of those things were from her grandma. And so she was able to utilize a mirror in a place where, you know, you maybe not normally see a mirror. So
thank
if anybody's
you, Karina, that's really a great tip.
It's a great tip. And I have put a mirror in my kitchen. It's not sitting on the backsplash. It's hanging on the wall at the bottom of the staircase, but I think it's great in there too. So don't be afraid to put a mirror in your kitchen.
Oh, good idea. Thank you. Okay. I love these. I love reader tips.
So fun. Okay, now we have Michelle, and this is a question for Anita.
Okay.
Michelle had a question about anchoring a space. You know, what does that really mean? You know, how can you achieve that? And any suggestions or advice you have on clarifying what that means and how to do it?
Okay, so are we talking about rugs? Is that what
well,
we're talking
about? Yeah, anything that, you know, she says she's heard the term anchoring a space.
Oh, what does that, okay.
What does that really mean and how would you effectuate that?
Okay, well, in a room, that would be done with a rug, or if it's a vignette on a table, it would be done with a tray. So if it's furniture in a room, anchoring, what do we mean? What we mean is we're talking about making the stuff on top of the anchor feel like it's one unit. So if it's if it's stuff on a tray, vases, dishes, whatever, it makes it feel like it's one unit. If it's a rug in a room, you're bringing all the furniture on top of the rug. So the anchoring means it feels like one piece, one giant piece. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what we talked about with lots of plates on a wall. If they have a unifying theme, that makes them feel like one big unit. Mm-hmm. So that's what we, so when we say anchoring, it means it's kind of tying it all together, making it feel like it's one piece rather than disjointed smaller pieces.
That's a very good definition, Anita. can I add just one little thing to that?
Yes, please.
Also, I think you can anchor a room with a piece of furniture. Let's just use neutral. If you've got a lot of neutral going on in your house and you have light walls, everything is pretty light, it gives the idea, and decorators call it like everything's floating. There's nothing that sort of grounds it to draw your eye in and makes it sort of cohesive. And you can do that with a few black items or dark items.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a little also, different. Mm-hmm. Also, anything green and living tends to do that as well. Good question.
Yeah. Michelle. So a little bit different types of anchoring going on there.
But yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. Okay. And then we have, you know, all these beautiful vignettes that we've been sent, and we definitely appreciate that so much. We have quite a collection of them. We're keeping them in a little folder and we're sharing them here and there on Facebook. So if you have anything that you've been inspired to do or you have a question about, you could also send a picture. Here's a question from Maggie K for Yvonne, because Yvonne loves painting, furniture in particular. So Maggie has four Ethan Allen tables that are high gloss, dark cherry, Yvonne. And she wants to know, can she paint them without sanding?
Yes, absolutely. And you can go many routes. Maggie, thank you for your question. Maggie, you can obviously sand it, but if you want to do that without sanding, you can use a chalk-based paint. And my very favorite is Amy Howard. I'll tell you that right up. I think it it adheres to surfaces very well. And you can just go to, she has a great YouTube channel that has instructions better than I could tell you. Just look up Amy Howard at home and you can paint them. And I think I say good for you, because if you're tired of a style, because I have also had that dilemma, I have Ethan Allen as well. And I painted my chairs and they were mahogany, but I just sort of know the era that's from. And that's a lovely look if you like it. But if you want something that, if you want to update that look a little bit, painting it with a chalk-based paint works. And then you're going to seal that chalk paint. You're probably going to do a little antiquing and then seal it with a wax. Or there's other ways to seal it as well. But don't discount things like spray paint. It's a totally different look. You know, you can lacquer something for a very, yes.
I'm spraying while we're talking.
and actually, Amy Howard has a fabulous line of lacquers. And they, you don't need to, and they can go over anything you do not need, like glass. So if it can go over glass, I think it can go over mahogany finish, and you don't need to sand it. So, you know, you have to think about the look you want and just learn a couple techniques. It's a very, it's much more inexpensive than replacing what you have, because what you have is probably very well made. Anybody
Excellent.
Else?
Excellent. Yeah. That okay. was, yeah. yeah, I think you yeah. covered it all. Mm-hmm. I'm speechless. Awesome. That was so good. One more shout out to Hannah C. Hannah recently sent us a picture of a cabinet that she painted. I'm guessing it's in her kitchen. She mm-hmm. sent the before and the after, and it was a painted cabinet and it looked fabulous. And then next to it, an open pantry, which she had completely organized. And I would say, way to go, Hannah. Yeah, that looks really great.
Oh, so nice.
Your after was terrific, and it was fun to see the before as well. One thing, Yvonne, Maggie also wanted to know or see some pictures of your beams in your kitchen. Could you describe those?
Well, I think I did in the show notes.
Okay, perfect.
And I can't remember which one it was, but I did do those.
Oh, the one about ceilings and walls?
Yes, yes, okay. yes. Okay. That, because I think you asked me to do that. So there okay. is a post about my kitchen, and you'll see the beams. The
we
beams
can do a link were, in the these show notes.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. The beams were just small, you know, they ran across with a little beading, and we just decided that they were too small. So we had somebody come in and add to that, and what a difference. Mm. We didn't have to take anything down. He just added to what we already have.
Awesome.
But okay. I'll put this in the show notes.
Okay. So from going from creating beams to creating mm-hmm. mood boards, we had a question from Vicky, and I think Anita is going to handle this one. How to create these mood boards? I'm guessing Vicky maybe wants to make one, you know, just for a project that she's doing mm-hmm. or I don't know. So she can have all her photos in one place. How would you suggest she should go
Vicky.
About that?
Well, there are some online services, for example, Canva or Olio Board, and I think they're both mm-hmm. free to use. I've used the Olio Board before, but to be honest with you, I usually use Photoshop. And what do the both of you use?
I use PicMonkey, which is very similar to Canva.
I use PicMonkey as well.
Okay, so you use just software on your computer then?
Because it's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
PicMonkey's free.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Photoshop, obviously I had to pay mm-hmm. for that, but mm-hmm. That's what I use all the time, so I use that. But of course, when you're doing it on your computer, you have to be able to take the JPEG, you know, you're going to right-click the image when you see it on the computer and save as your JPEG, and then you pull it in and mm-hmm. put it on your board in Photoshop or PicMonkey. But when you're on, I think the Canva or Olio board, I think you can select the image. It's a little more seamless. You don't have to do the downloading and the mm-hmm. Opening the files and so forth. So that's certainly something. Maybe we'll have a listener.
Anita?
Yes.
Excuse me. I actually have a mood board that I did for our Gable guest bedroom.
Okay,
and
great.
I did it in PicMonkey. I actually did a few of them. Okay. So I'll put that in the show notes so she can mm-hmm. see it. Very it's so easy.
Yeah, and I think she knows what it is. She just wants to know which
but I
software
want to show her
use.
Like sort of the look with mm-hmm. the PicMonkey.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. So I think if somebody has some service that they like that they want to recommend, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's a question I'm going to toss out to everybody. It's probably something that a lot of people have confronted. Grout. Jessica V sent an email. We had a little exchange back and forth. I told Jessica what I thought, but now we might as well open it up to what the two of you think about white tile, dark grout, white tile, light grout, marble tile, hex marble tile with sort of a light gray tile. What would your thoughts be?
I have both. I have some bathrooms that have, you know, I have that little hex tile mm-hmm. that's white, and then I have the black little kind of rosettes. You know, they just kind of do a circle of the black. So it's very much like 1910, you know, mm-hmm. look for my craftsman style home. And I have a darker grout, so you can really see the tile. I think the darker grout with that sort of tile really emphasizes the size and the shape, and it's really pretty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it just kind of depends on if you want it, the grout to blend with the tile and you want it to kind of go away and you don't care about the shape of the tile, then you would use the white, although you do mm-hmm. have to be concerned more about the staining, and you'd probably
correct.
And you definitely mm-hmm. want to seal it, I would say, whatever color you use. But mm-hmm. If the hex tile, I definitely like to use the darker grout.
That's a good tip. I am such a blend it together girl, although I do love the idea of being able to see that beautiful design. But I've seen subway tile with like white subway tile with grout that blends in, mm-hmm. that's white, and then grout that stands out. Now, I think it really depends on the style of the area you're putting that into. Mm-hmm. Because I think the darker grout is a way more contemporary look.
Well, I think it depends. Well, I would say my flooring, I don't think that's contemporary, but for a black backsplash, I would agree with you, that's more contemporary.
Yeah. I'm just saying in general, mm-hmm. I'll say in general, it is a much more contemporary look. You see that much more today. I don't know when 1910 they would use the dark grout. Maybe they
would, but
I doubt
it. Maybe it just got dark with age.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Oh, which it does. But I would say if you have, if you like something modern and very contemporary, that's a really great look. But if you like things that are more classic and a little more traditional or farmhousey or country, I'd stay with the blended into the whatever color tile you're using.
Okay. And then because everyone didn't get to share in the emails that I was exchanging with Jessica, I also have had in my prior house the small white hexes with a darker gray. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And when I remember when I first walked into that bathroom, that was actually a fairly large bathroom. I thought, oh man, did I make a mistake? This is so busy. But here was, you know, the tile man was still in the corner. You know, there was no, there were no finishings. You know, there were no decorations. There were no towels. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. And so all you saw, you know, when that is like, all you see is that.
And, panicked.
And you're panicked. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. But I loved it. And I loved the sort of, and I'm not a really graphic you know, sort of person, but I love the graphic nature of it. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you couldn't, I mean, not that I'm sure my grout was not dirty, ladies, but if it was,
no, I'm sure
you couldn't tell.
And I think in a bathroom, that's a great place to get a little more like crazy or step out of your comfort zone.
Right.
A backsplash in a kitchen, maybe not so much.
Right.
No, I agree. It's more contemporary, but I've seen the darker grout on the subway tile on the backsplash. It's not what I have personally. Mm-hmm. I have the lighter grout, but I like that look. Yeah. I think it's a very nice look.
Yeah. But it depends on the style you're going for.
Definitely, definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. And then now I have the small marble hexes, and I did a grout that's almost imperceivable from the tile. Mm-hmm. It just all flows, but you can still see the shape, but it's certainly not standing out like the other one did. Mm-hmm. I would make a suggestion to anyone fretting about, thinking about exploring grout. If you go to a reputable tile place, you can usually ask for the decorator's grout kit. They might charge you like $10 or something for it, but if you say you're a decorator, you are a decorator. Everybody who listens here is a decorator.
Establish that. Everyone listening is a decorator.
Everybody's listening. So I listen to Decorating Tips and Tricks. Give me that grout kit. And they just have these tiny little pieces of it. Maybe they're 2 inches long. And, you know, you can't tell if it's a big bathroom, but you can get a better idea holding it next to your tile and the different light that comes into your bathroom. It might be something worth exploring. And maybe you can even get one online. But that's something you should maybe think about if you're serious about grout or you're really stressing about what grout to use. Because it definitely is getting down to the nitty gritty and decorating, but it makes a... Excuse the pun.
I love
that you got it. It makes a big difference and it can change the look. Yeah. Just like Yvonne is saying, it definitely changes the look. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are going a little bit over.
I know. One quick one, and then we've got to stop.
Oh, I think we have two. We have two quick ones. Okay, I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay, I'm going to give this one to again to Yvonne because I know your, is it a 3-foot rule or 3-yard rule about faux blooms, but a while back this is from March 17th, so this lovely listener has waited this long to have her question answered.
Who is this?
It's, well, I don't have a name. It's Mother's Heart must be her iTunes name because it came through on a really nice review. And thank you so much, Mother's Heart.
Thank
we all have
you.
Mother's Hearts too. So she wanted some tips to dust off faux blooms.
I'll give you my favorite one, a blow dryer.
Wow. Stop right there.
I know. Don't put it on a hot setting.
If you have allergies, though, that dust may be going everywhere.
Well, but... Well, I guess it would be.
You could do it outside. Do it outside. Well,
there you go.
What I do is when I'm cleaning, before I vacuum the floor, you take a blow dryer, you just low setting and warm or no heat or air, whatever you have on your blow dryer, and you just blow it off, and that really gets everything.
Oh, yeah.
You can shake them out. You can also wash them, but I'd be careful depending on what they're made out of. Mm-hmm. You know, you might want to try a leaf or something to see how it dries, because I know that you can actually wash some of them. So those are my tips on how to do it.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And one more, and I'll take this one because I have had the most workers in my life in the past year. Anne from Michigan asks us, how do you treat workers in your house? Anne was apparently putting out quite a nice spread for her workers.
You're going to take so long.
She had treats in the morning, and then she had popsicles in the afternoon. And I was like, wow, I hope none of the guys that work in my house.
She's done this every day for how long?
Well, I don't know how long she was doing it for, but at the point in time, she had done this in the past. And at the point in time she was asking the question of us, she was getting ready to do a kitchen remodel.
We're coming to her house.
Cabinetry. Exactly. I'm like, hey, I can faux paint. Want me to come over? So I would say, I thought that was such a great question because it's not one that would necessarily come to mind, but it definitely comes into play.
Sure.
And I'm going to seem stingy next to Anne, but I would say, like, if I was home and they were outside, and certainly if it's hot or whatever, you know, so even just some icy water, even if they have water, say, oh no, thank you, I have water, but just put a pitcher of ice water in some plastic cups or something, you know, make it easy for them too, so they don't have to worry about breaking something or whatever. And then I've done watermelon cut up, bags of clementines. Just put them out. But I'm doing it very occasionally, Anne. This is like a surprise treat. You know,
this is impressive because when we moved in our house, we had guys here every day for probably 2 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had work to do and I had a house to get together. So I wasn't really focused on, plus there's places to eat that are, you know, walking distance from here. So, but you know, I think it's really just what you, I don't think you have to do anything, but if you have the time and you're wanting to, then great. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
you know the saying, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, happy carpenter, happy customer. Project. You know, I mean, not to say that if you didn't give somebody some watermelon, they were going to do a bad job. But, you know, it just kind of it makes them feel like they're appreciated. And certainly if somebody went beyond the call of duty, like I've had some guys
in my
house.
Well, I will say this. A lot of times we do a tip for people. We do tips instead. Yeah.
Cash is always appreciated.
So we do the cash thing.
Well, here's another, and we'll end with this. Here's another thing, and this is just a little bit of a rift off of it. If I have somebody coming to my house like to put furniture together and deliver something, I always offer them a to-go cup of coffee or whatever, a drink.
Oh, that's so nice.
And usually, I mean, I've never had somebody come into my house to put something together that doesn't work really hard. And then follow that up, because they always have a survey or call the company and say, I just want you to really know these guys or these gals were amazing. Mm.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes, Very nice. I always try to do that. Well, anyway, great questions. We want to thank all of our listeners, especially the ones whose questions we answered today. You can go to decoratingtipsandtricks.com and find our website and find our phone number. We ask you just to leave comments, leave tips, leave questions, and we just really appreciate it. So remember, we are here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time.
Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.